Welcome, everybody, to the Class Act Podcast. It is Wednesday, February 27th, the year of our Lord, 2019. It's been a tumultuous week for me. Earlier today, I was at Dunkin' Donuts getting my usual morning coffee when a white man in front of me had the audacity to go to the black cashier and say, "I want a coffee." Now, do you understand how racist it is for a white man to tell a black person what to do? It was so disgusting, I literally said, "Oh, you think it's okay to tell a black person what to do? I bet you supported slavery." And everybody in the place immediately gave me a standing ovation. It was incredible. I got high fives from every black person in the place. It was so humbling, and I'm just so grateful that I was able to help end racism a little bit. It didn't, you know, surely it didn't end racism for good, but it was a step in the right direction. So I'm very, very happy about that. In other words, let's see. The big story now is that the NBA. I'm sick of talk. I understand I talk about LeBron a lot, and I understand that. I repeat a lot of the same topics on here, and I really try my best to not get repetitive. But it's hard for me to talk about the NBA without talking about LeBron, because LeBron, like, so much of what makes the NBA interesting and part of what generates so much debate is LeBron. LeBron, he's like a lightning rod. And if you take LeBron out of the equation, it's like the NBA gets pretty boring, because everybody knows that the Warriors are just going to coast to a title. And, you know, I mean, then there's really nothing to distract us. And LeBron, he provides a good distraction for both sides of the coin. If you're a supporter of his like I am, then, you know, you're going to be very, very, you know, in tune, and you're going to be very interested and in depth about, you know, why he's not responsible for the Lakers' struggles. And if you don't like LeBron, then you're taking a lot of pleasure in him possibly missing the postseason this year. Okay, here's the thing about I have to start by saying, and as everybody knows, if you follow the podcast, if you listen to the podcast frequently, everybody knows I'm a big LeBron fan. And I have to start out by saying this. Back in July, when he signed with the Lakers, literally, I said I wasn't happy about it, because I felt for basketball reasons that the 76ers would have been the best choice for him. But the other reason why I didn't like him going to the Lakers was because of the goddamn stupidity of Lakers fans and how they fucking worship Kobe Bryant. It's, oh god, it is so fucking nauseating. And I said, if the Lakers struggle, or if the Lakers, for whatever reason, miss the playoffs, then all those fucking idiot Kobe fans are going to come out of the woodworks and say, "Kobe Bryant, we made the playoffs. Kobe, we've done it." You know, it would, and that's exactly what they're doing right now. And it is fucking nauseating. It is absolutely fucking nauseating, okay? I feel the need to preference every single thing I say about Kobe Bryant with this. There is a very good chance that Kobe Bryant sexually assaulted a woman, okay? I don't want to outright say it, because he was never convicted. But when you read the police reports, and when you listen to Kobe say that Kobe Bryant basically said, "What I thought was consent wasn't consent to her," which is basically rape. But I don't want to risk getting sued, so I'm just going to say there's a great chance that he sexually assaulted a woman. And the fact that millions and millions of people still worship him, it, just off of that alone, is pretty gross. It's pretty gross. Like, you can call LeBron a choker, you can make fun of LeBron's finals records, all you want, as dumb as that is, but in terms of like being a in terms of a person, in terms of morals, like it's you know, you can't even debate the two. And that's not even including the fact that LeBron James is light years better than Kobe Bryant as a basketball player. Like the Kobe LeBron debate, you know, it should be over by now, but there's still, but you know, the Lakers' struggles recently have reignited this bullshit idea that Kobe Bryant was like somehow as good or better than LeBron James. And it's so fucking nauseating, okay? First of all, let's look at this. You compare LeBron and Kobe statistically. Over their careers, points per game, LeBron. Rebounds per game, LeBron. Assists per game, LeBron. Steals per game, LeBron. Blocks per game, LeBron. Field goal percentage, LeBron. 3-point field goal percentage, LeBron. Free throw percentage, Kobe. Player efficiency rating, LeBron. Win shares, LeBron. Win shares per 48 minutes, LeBron. MVPs, LeBron. Finals MVPs, LeBron. Titles won as the best player, LeBron. It's no debate. There's no contest. That right there. That right there. That what I just went through ends the discussion for good. And that's, but of course, what Kobe Bryant fans always talk about is, but rings! What about the rings? Oh, what about the killer instinct? Oh my goodness, what about killer instinct? You can't quantify killer instinct, man. The Kobe Bryant, he was a killer. He wanted to take the last shot. Oh, it's so nauseating. Okay. If the stats aren't good enough for you, okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the fact that Kobe Bryant played with peak Shaq, who is one of the most dominant players of all time, and the fact that he got carried to his first three titles by Shaquille O'Neal. You can say, and it's, you know, it's true that Kobe Bryant certainly played a role in the Lakers winning those titles. But there is no fucking way that Kobe Bryant has three of his five rings without Shaq, without playing with Shaq during those years. That's undeniable. So that right there destroys the rings argument. By the way, rings are a stat. They're a team stat, but they're still a stat. So saying you don't like stats, but then using rings just further proves how fucking dumb you are. So, you know, if you use rings to judge a player in a team sport, you're fucking stupid. At least if that's your main argument. I'm not saying that, you know, it's in basketball, I can, you know, rings are at least a little bit more acceptable to use than in football, but still, even in basketball, if you're using rings as your main argument for why one player is better than another, then most of the time the player with more rings isn't better. That's just what I found, okay? And just from watching Kobe and LeBron over the years, okay, the things LeBron has done with horrible teams is much more impressive than anything Kobe Bryant ever did. The 3 years smack dab at Kobe's peak, the Lakers missed the postseason. So this idea, in 2005, smack dab in Kobe's prime, the Lakers missed the playoffs. So this idea that Kobe Bryant would somehow have this Lakers team in the playoffs that his fans are going off about and saying LeBron just doesn't have leadership. LeBron isn't a leader like Kobe Bryant. LeBron doesn't want to win as bad as Kobe Bryant. LeBron doesn't want to win. Why? Why doesn't LeBron want to win? Because he fucking posts on IG, on Instagram, about how proud he is about being the only player in NBA history that's top 10 all time in both points and assists. That means he doesn't want to win. What do you want him to do? Like, what do you want? What do people want LeBron to do? Like, do you want him to cry? Do you want him to post, like, videos of him crying for him to show that he cares? Like, it's so ridiculous. And this idea that, oh, LeBron ruined the Lakers' chemistry. LeBron, the Lakers were doing so well until LeBron came and ruined everything. The young kids were getting along so great. Okay? Give me a fucking break. It's been almost 7 fucking years since the Lakers won a playoff game. That was in Obama's first term. It's almost been 7 years since the Lakers won a playoff game. It's been over 6 years since they've won a playoff series. They haven't had a winning record in 5 years. They've missed the playoffs 5 straight years. In 18 games without LeBron this year, the Lakers went 6-12. With LeBron, they have a winning record. Okay? All right. So this idea that LeBron came in and ruined everything is fucking bullshit. And this just this all these cancerous takes are just another reason why I wish he went to Philadelphia or stayed in Cleveland rather than come to LA. Because this is like the worst possible scenario. It is. It's the worst possible scenario for LeBron. And part of me, now it's like, well, even if the Lakers do make the playoffs, they're going to be, you know, the eighth seed or the seventh seed. And they're probably going to have to play the Warriors in the first round. And they're going to get, you know, bitch slapped by the Warriors in the first round. So that's, you know, that's just as good as missing the postseason. Like, I don't, you know, I think the idea that, you know, LeBron has come in and ruined everything the Lakers did, and that he hurt people's feelings by, you know, demanding a trade for Anthony Davis. Okay, you should want to trade for a superstar. You should want to trade for another superstar like Anthony Davis. Because guys like Ingram, who I will admit has started to play very well recently, but he's still not Anthony Davis. Kuzma, or Lonzo Ball, or Josh Hart, if you can trade them, you trade them for Anthony Davis, because that's how you win titles in the NBA nowadays. You have to have multiple superstars. And as great as LeBron is, and as amazing as LeBron is, he's in his 16th year. Eventually, he's going to break down. And this is why, as soon as the Lakers signed LeBron in July, even when I was like, oh, darn, he should have signed with Philadelphia, at least I was saying to myself, well, at least there's a chance that the Lakers can give him some good signings and he can make it work. And what do they do? What do they do? They sign players who do not fit with LeBron's skill. We have 15 plus years of evidence that shows that LeBron is most effective when surrounded by shooters, when surrounded by people who can space the floor for him. And the Lakers went out of their way to do the exact opposite of that. So, no, it's not. So it's not really a surprise that the Lakers have struggled so much. But and here's the other thing. You're going to hear, well, if LeBron wanted to, he could, you know, he could have gone to any team. He could have gone to any team, and that's true. But here's the other thing people don't talk about. LeBron is going to get shit on no matter what he did. It didn't matter where LeBron went to. It didn't matter if LeBron stayed in Cleveland. Even last year in Cleveland, when he was carrying a fucking dog shit team, people were saying, oh, he's ruined Jordan Clarkson. He's ruined Kevin Love. He's ruined J.R. Smith. He makes his teammates worse. He turns them into spot-up shooters. So even if he stayed in Cleveland, it would have been, oh, he's just content with wasting the rest of his career. If he went to Philadelphia, it would have been, oh, he's too afraid to go out west. If he went to Houston, it would have been, oh, he can't win without super teams. So people are always finding new ways to shit on LeBron. And it's all because they're insecure about Michael Jordan's place in history. That's what it really is. There's a reason why no other player gets held to the standards LeBron gets held to. It's because LeBron's the best. He's the best. And that's why I have a hard time saying, despite the fact that, yes, this year, Giannis has been better. Harden has been better. You can even say Jokic has been better. I don't say that they're this season, yeah, but overall, are they better than LeBron James? I don't know how you can say they are because they aren't held to the same standard. LeBron is graded on such a curve from the rest of the NBA. Even guys like Kevin Durant, even guys like Steph Curry, who, by the way, Steph Curry played like fucking Smush Parker the other day, and the Warriors still won, and Steph Curry got no slander for it, because that's, you know, he's fucking Teflon for whatever reason. And I just lost my train of thought because I'm just thinking about the troops so hard right now. I'm just trying to remember where I was. Oh yeah, talking about the standards of LeBron. Like, LeBron is held to a higher standard than any other athlete, and including Michael Jordan. Like, and like, this is what's so hilarious about people cherry picking one or two defensive possessions that LeBron didn't play well on to say, oh, he just doesn't want to win. He's just lazy. You know, I could cherry pick four or five possessions from that same game, and I could use that to say LeBron should be the defensive player of the year. Yeah, is LeBron isn't going to win any awards for his defense, okay? But this idea that LeBron is like a defensive, he's a horrible defensive player and he's the worst defensive player in the NBA. It's just that you know, his detractors and his haters try and push forward. It's bullshit. It's complete bullshit. He's an average defender, in my opinion. He's not, you know, he's not the reason why the Lakers are giving up a ton of points. He's not the reason why the Lakers are struggling to make the postseason. In fact, LeBron is the only reason that the Lakers are even in the playoff race right now. And this, yeah, and LeBron comes with a lot of attention. Yeah, sure. But, you know, that comes with the territory of being one of the two best players of all time. It comes with a lot of attention. So, if you're, you know, if you bitch about LeBron, you know, he gets so much attention, he's such a distraction. Well, suck it up, bitch. Stop being a little bitch and suck it up. You should be happy LeBron's on your fucking team, or else you'd be mangling in mediocrity and wouldn't have any expectations. So, yeah. You can call me a LeBron dick sucker. You can call me a LeBron dick rider. You can throw whatever insult you want at me, but I'm right. Okay? And this is why I changed my bio on Twitter to something that is true. If you hate me, and there are a lot of people that hate me, if you hate me, it's because I've said facts about your favorite team or player that you didn't want to hear. And that's the truth. I troll a lot, sure. I troll, I make jokes, but wrapped up in all that trolling and all that, you know, satire is the truth. And I get that across. Excuse me. I get that across, I think, pretty well, and that's why I'm able to get so many people riled up, because they know I'm right. They know that I'm telling the truth. And I have stats, and I have, you know, evidence to support my claims. So, moving on now to, I guess, a less tentious topic. Well, just one more, I'll finish off, just one more thing about the LeBron-Lakers situation. Okay? I won't say that it looks horrible for the Lakers right now. Their team chemistry doesn't seem to be there. LeBron, ever since he's come back from his injury, he doesn't look the same. He doesn't look like he has the same explosion. But I'll still be shocked if the Lakers miss the playoffs, just because LeBron, you know, like LeBron could go and rile off, you know, and rip off, you know, a historically dominant stretch right now for the rest of the season, and I wouldn't be shocked. So I'll be surprised if the Lakers miss the postseason. But if they do miss the postseason, well, then they better pray to God that they get another superstar in free agency, because LeBron's got 3 more years left on his contract after this year. And if you don't get another superstar, it's going to be a lot of drama. Move on to a less contentious topic, I guess. Well, I don't even know if I can say that, but as I mentioned a little bit before, my trolling. Talk about some of my trolling. Let's get to a little bit of a more lighthearted subject than the LeBron dilemma. I love trolling. Trolling to me is I love it. It's in my blood. I can't help it. Every single time I try and say I want to be, you know, I want to be on the straight and narrow, and I want to be taken seriously, I just can't help but troll. It's just, I love exposing how dumb people are while laughing at them at the same time. And one of the best ways to do that is by responding to Donald Trump's tweets with stuff like, you know, Obama, you know, you're so much better than Obama, or you're so much classier than Obama, or something like that that'll get people riled up. Or saying like, oh, Obama was so afraid of Trump that he didn't run for a third term. And like, it's like once I do that, a fucking nuclear bomb just goes off in my mentions, and it's filled with old white women that have avies of themselves. It's filled with people that have dog avies. It's just incredible. It never fails. It never fails. Every single time, without fail. My personal favorite is whenever I talk about marijuana and how I can overdosing on marijuana is one of the biggest overlooked problems that our country has. And every single fucking time, you get at least 100 people to bite and say, "You can't overdose on marijuana. What are you talking about? You can't overdose on marijuana." And every single time, Every single fucking time, it works. And it's hilarious every single time. I don't care what you say. I don't care if you find me annoying. It's fucking hilarious. It's just hilarious. It's hilarious to see grown people get so triggered online by a guy named Barry McCockiner. And that's why I love the name Barry McCockiner. Because it's subtle. Like, it's not like Bend Over or Dixie Normus, where it's like right away you can recognize it's a dirty name. It's one of those names you have to say a few times in order to get it. And then once it clicks in your mind, you're like, oh shit, I just fell for this guy. I just fell for this guy's, you know, for his scam. People, and it works every single time. And I found that, you know, politics Twitter, as dumb as sports Twitter is, and sports Twitter is certainly very dumb and very stupid, it doesn't hold a candle to how dumb and obnoxious politics Twitter is. That's like a whole nother level. And in all honesty, in general, I think Twitter in general, as a whole, isn't as dumb as Facebook. When you go on Facebook and you see the comments on Facebook posts, like, it makes you lose faith in humanity. You're like, holy crap, our education system is not working. It's not working. When you look and you see all these all these stupid people, and they're fully grown, and just, you're like, oh my goodness, no wonder this country has so many problems. It's because we have so many idiots on here. And that's my take on the country. And I'm very, look, I mean, but the other thing is, I'm just gonna make a statement here, and this might be controversial to some people, but the United States of America is the greatest country in the world because, you know, and people always bitch about certain problems they have, but here is the truth. If you have the time and the ability to bitch about problems, you don't have real problems. Like, when you look at somebody in, like, a country that's run by a dictator, they're not on social media. They're not on social media bitching about being oppressed because they don't have time to go on social media and do these things. They don't have free time. They don't have the rights to do that shit. So, and that's not to say that, you know, people in this country don't have any problems or that there aren't things to fix in this country, because there certainly are. But it's like, you know, compared to countries in, like, third world countries or all these countries that where people are being, you know, starved to death and killed on a regular basis by dictators and overrun by, you know, terrorist groups. It's just like when you juxtapose that to what we have to deal with in America, it's no contest. America is the best country in the world. And our troops are the best troops in the world. And to be honest with you, it's honestly, it makes me sick and it makes me puke. I'm getting nauseous right now just thinking about the fact that baseball players get paid $300 million while our troops are overseas. They don't get paid anything. We got people getting paid $300 million to hit a fucking baseball while our troops are overseas dying for nothing. And this is all Obama's fault. It's all Obama's fault for doing this shit. Thanks a lot, Obama. Oh, and by the way, Obama hurt Zion Williamson. Obama is why Zion Williamson got hurt. And he got a free pass. The liberal media, the libs, gave Obama a pass for injuring the most exciting basketball player in college that we've seen in a long time. Just another way that Obama's ruined this country. And by the way, speaking of college basketball, Jim Boeheim killed a guy. Jim Boeheim literally killed a person. Like he literally killed a guy. And he coached the game like a few days later. I mean, look, even if the family of the guy, I know ever since the accident happened, Boeheim, he said the right things. But here's the deal. Like, if you're responsible for a person's death, whether it's accidental or not, if your vehicle was the reason why a person died, like, he literally died, then like, you really shouldn't, you should take, like, at least a week before you go back to, like, what your normal job is. especially if that job is in front of like a national audience, in front of millions of people. So, and the fact that the Syracuse fans gave Jim Boeheim a standing ovation for killing a guy, it's just like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I was like, okay, like, you know, you don't have to, you know, I'm not like Jim Boeheim isn't an evil. He's not an evil person. He didn't purposely kill this guy. It's like it's manslaughter. It was an accident. Unfortunately, things like that happen. But still, you shouldn't be cheering a guy for, you know, who accidentally just ran over a person with his car. You don't see people giving Dante Stallworth a round of applause everywhere he goes. Although Stallworth actually was at fault when he murdered the guy that he ran over because Stallworth was drunk. At least Boeheim wasn't drunk. But still, I mean, come on, man. Like, you know, at least wait a week or so before you go back to work. I mean, it just, the optics of it weren't great. I'll just put it that way. And, you know, I feel like Boeheim I think he said a lot of the right things, but I would have waited a little bit longer to go back to work after accidentally killing somebody. You know what time it is now, folks. It's time to talk about the movies. And recently, I've been on a little bit of a Batman hinge, the Christopher Nolan trilogy. I've been on a bit of a binge watch of them. I watched Batman Begins. I watched Dark Knight. I watched The Dark Knight Rises. Great movies. Absolutely phenomenal movies. I think most people would agree that of the three movies, the best movie of the bunch is The Dark Knight. And a big reason for that is because of Heath Ledger's Joker. And as is true with every superhero movie, a superhero movie is only as good as its villain. And Heath Ledger's Joker is considered by a lot of people, and rightfully so in my opinion, to be the greatest movie villain of all time. And you can say, people, you know, and there is a camp that says, well, it gets overrated because Heath Ledger died. I think in a lot of cases, when somebody dies young, their work gets overrated. But in this case, I don't think so. It was legitimately terrifying. He was an absolutely incredible villain. And it's really a shame that he wasn't able to reprise that role later on. And I think Heath Ledger's death is the reason why The Dark Knight Rises wasn't quite as good as The Dark Knight, because the Joker wasn't there. The Dark Knight Rises, a lot of what happens in The Dark Knight Rises, which in my opinion is the second best of the trilogy, a lot of what happens in The Dark Knight Rises is because of the Joker. Like Harvey, you know, the Joker was able to turn Harvey Dent, and Jim Gordon and Batman had to cover up the fact that Harvey Dent turned bad so that the city of Gotham wouldn't go crazy. I thought The Dark Knight Rises was obviously a great movie. I thought Bane was a very good villain. It certainly wasn't as good as Joker. And a big reason for that was, I think, the way that Bane died. The ending, I thought, was a good twist the first time I saw it, when it turned out that the hot chick that Bruce Wayne had sex with actually turned out to be Ra's al Ghul's daughter, and was the actual leader, not Bane. But that kind of ruined, and it's great, it was a very good twist, but it kind of took away from the badassery of Bane, like the villain. Like Bane came in, he's a super jacked guy, he has big man tits, you know, he's really ripped, and he kicks Batman's ass in that cellar thing, in that cellar area, like midway through the movie, and he breaks Batman's back, and he looks like a badass, and then we figure out that he's like a cuck. Like, what? And he gets shot to death by Anne Hathaway. Like, come on, man. Give me a fucking break. Like, they built him up as like this super badass terrorist, and it looked like that for a while, and then he gets cucked, and then he dies. That's it. Like, I mean, he deserved, that was like my biggest issue with that movie. It was like they made Bane into a little bit of a bitch towards the end of it. And the other problem with I guess it's hard to criticize these movies because they're so well done. The best way to the biggest problem I had with a lot of these movies was Christian, and I know a lot of other people have said this too, was Christian Bale's, like, his whispering voice like this when he talks like Batman. It kind of, you know, it kind of takes away a little bit from all the cool gadgets and shit that he does and all the cool fighting he does. Like, that little, like, silly voice that he does trying to disguise himself. But at least, you know, Batman's voice and disguise is actually better than Superman, who literally just puts on a pair of glasses. Like, that always bothered me as a, that always bothered me as a kid. Whenever I would watch Superman cartoons, or whenever I would watch shows like Smallville or other things like that, or the Superman movies with Christopher Reeve, is like, all the guy did was put on glasses. Like, it wasn't like he had a mask or anything. Like, how do you not notice it? Even me, when I was 7 years old, I noticed all this shit. I was like, how do they not know it's him? He looks exactly the same. Ugh. Anyway, that's the wrong superhero. And the third movie of what I thought was still great, but I think was the worst of the three, was Batman Begins. And I think Batman Begins was the worst of the three because it had the worst villain. I thought Ra's al Ghul he was good. I thought Scarecrow was a little silly. Although I will give Batman Begins props for having the hottest Rachel. I mean, Katie Holmes is a lot more attractive than Maggie Gyllenhaal, so it was a lot more believable when Bruce was lusting after her than he was Maggie Gyllenhaal in The Dark Knight. I felt like, I felt like the movie Batman Begins kind of dragged a little bit in certain areas, like where he was in the mountains and shit. Like, I felt like that was a little bit boring, but it was still a great movie. Speaking of Ra's al Ghul, who was played by Liam Neeson. Speaking of Liam Neeson, I can't believe that Liam Neeson, like, he basically... Liam Neeson's, like, one of the most established actors of all time. He's, like, the guy was in a fucking Star Wars movie. He was Qui-Gon Jinn, for Christ's sakes. He was in Schindler's List. You know, he's one of the most well-respected actors in the world. And he basically, like, sabotaged 40 years or whatever that he's been acting in one interview. He sabotaged, like, his entire reputation in one interview by saying that, like, he went around after one of his friends got raped and he was looking to kill a black person. Like, what were you thinking? Like, why would you even say that? But luckily for him, I remember hearing him say that, and I was like, this has to be the biggest self-own of 2019. There won't be anything that comes close to this. And then Jussie Smollett happened. Like, the Jussie Smollett case is one of the most batshit crazy things I've ever seen, because this guy, for, like, no good reason, basically staged a crime, staged a hoax, and he's basically, like, you know, he set back the LGBTQ community, and, like, now all of the racists and people who support hate crimes, whenever another hate crime actually happens, they're going to point to it and say, oh, well, look at this guy now. You know, what happened with that other guy, that gay actor from Empire? You know, he staged it, so it's not real. You know, hate crimes are overblown. Like, I never thought anybody would own themselves harder than Liam Neeson did. But Jussie somehow topped it in, like, a month. So, I mean, I'm afraid to say that we'll never see any harder cell phone for the rest of 2019, but I don't know. We'll have to see. And with that, that ends this episode of the Class Act Podcast. As for merchandise, I am I'm hoping to get some more merchandise on there on my shop. Just got to work out some legal shit so I don't get sued, because I don't want to get sued. Getting sued is bad, in case you didn't know. You do not want to get sued. But again, I'm very, very happy to see that I have so many followers, and I want to just thank everybody for following me, and to send it off, stay classy and respect the troops. Actually, I cannot believe that I forgot about this. I cannot believe I forgot about Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, getting caught soliciting sex at a fucking sex trafficking ring. Are you fucking serious? Good Lord. Oh, my goodness. The Patriots are one of the Patriots are scumbags. Every single level of the Patriots are scumbags. Their owner might have been part of a sex... Their owner might have taken part in a sex trafficking ring. Their coach is a cheater and a sociopathic MILF hunter. Their quarterback is a cheater and a guy who employs a fraud who once tried to pass off sugar pills as cures for cancer, and he also makes out with his kids. It's disgusting. And their fans are horrible. I mean, Patriots fans are going out and defending Robert Kraft, who might have potentially been responsible for sex trafficking. Are you serious? And even if he wasn't responsible for sex trafficking, you're defending a guy who's out there, who's a billionaire, and he's trying to get a rub and tug at like a cheap place. Are you serious? I highly doubt that Robert Kraft had no idea what was going on. Absolutely disgusting. I cannot believe it. The Patriots just keep giving people more and more reasons to hate them. They are fucking scumbags. All of them are fucking scumbags. Every single one of them. I hate them all, and I cannot wait until the Patriots dynasty is over with so all their BS bullshit fans can go back and get the shitty team that they deserve. And I hope that Robert Kraft loses the team because he's a fucking scumbag and he looks like a horny toad.
Society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety, and I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls, I've got big balls, and they're such big balls, and they're dirty big balls, and he's got big balls, and she's got big balls. On the guest list, no one can take you higher. Everybody says I've got great balls of fire. I've got big balls, I've got big balls, and they're such big balls, and they're sassy big balls, and he's got big balls, and she's got big balls.
We've got the biggest balls of them all.
Some balls are held for charity, and some for fancy dress, but when they're held for pleasure, they're the balls that I like best. My balls are always bouncing to the left and to the right. It's my belief that my big balls should be held every night.
Oh, we've got big balls.